Can't go wrong if you start with monkeys. I was confused because it's Mother's Day. I thought somebody said it was Monkey's Day, so I put this together, and now I'm kind of embarrassed. So, no, actually, my talk was inspired by Mark's talk a couple of weeks ago, talking about light waves, light particles, light wavicles. Where do we end up with that? I don't remember where we ended up, but okay. So anyway, I thought I would talk about something that has been on my mind lately, and it is Olympic slalom kayaking. Let's see if this works. Is it working? Hey, all right. So, that's my talk this morning. There'll be some scriptural things here. Yeah. We'll find out later on. So, we'll just leave that for now, and we'll move on. Basically, what my talk is about... Oh, wait a minute. Don't do that. There we go. Is being upside down. Of course, most of my talks come to me while I'm jogging and thinking about the relationship of man to God. And with the news things and everything going on, it just came to me that this concept of being upside down, we've got this relationship with God, and we're upside down on this relationship. And Satan loves this. And from the very beginning, he's tried to destroy our relationship with God. That's his whole goal, is to destroy our relationship with God. And he does that through his favorite tool, which is lies. Telling lies, lies, lies. Half truth, half lies. Trying to get us to believe things that aren't real or that are skewed so that we don't have a relationship with God, or if we do, it's a skewed relationship and it's not the appropriate one. So he starts at the very top and works his way down. So there's a progression of lies he's going to use to try and get us away from God. First of all, he says there is no God. And this is very popular with a lot of people. That way they're not accountable to anything. There is no God. There's no Satan, there's no heaven, there's no hell, there's none of this, it's just us. We're God, basically, and we can do what we want, make our own rules, we're not accountable to anybody, and people like that because there's one less person, there's one thing not to tell them what to do. They don't have to follow the rules, they make up their own. So he starts with that. If that doesn't work, then he says, okay, let's go on to the next one, the next half-lie. Well, maybe there's a God, but it's not really a God. There's just something up there, right? This didn't come from just nothing, so maybe something made all of this, but it's not really an entity that you can have a relationship with. It's not known, and it's not knowable. It's just something that's there. You don't have to worry about it. So just go on with your lives and pretend like everything's okay. Some people don't like that. That's kind of I just can't accept that. It's okay. Let's go to the next lie. Okay, so, well, there's spirits out there. I mean, there's spirits of the rocks and the trees and the water and everything like that. So there are spirits out there that you can see and know, but you don't have to obey them. You don't interact with them very much. They're just out there. You hear people say, well, I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual. Well, that's good. It's good to be spiritual, but it's going to be the Holy Spirit that you're with. But they say there's spirits out there, but you don't have to worry about them again. You just go about your business. They're over there. We're man. We decide what we're going to do. Some of you may know that Lisa and I go up to the Boundary Waters occasionally, and the Ojibwe Indians have been up there for centuries, and they have pictographs you can go and visit. And one of the rituals that people in these canoeing magazines just love to do is that they leave this offering of tobacco. And there's some little ritual that you're supposed to go through, and it really gains a lot of popularity. People think it's really neat to the spirit of whatever it is that's up there. I guess it smokes, I don't know. But so they leave this tobacco offering, and they really think that's cool. That's the kind of thing that people get into. It makes them feel good, but they're not accountable to anything. And go on, and they can do their own lives. And these spirits exist. You may encounter one of them in your life, but it's not a big deal. Some people think, okay, that's all right, but there's got to be something else. There's got to be something more. So Satan says, okay, maybe there's gods, but then there's really a lot of gods. There's gods all over the place. There's gods here, gods there, god of this, god of that, god of death, god of war. The Romans, the Greeks, the Hindus, they all have these gods. So there's gods all over the place. And so you might, again, encounter them. You might have to do something. If you want the god of war, you may have to appease him if you're going to go to war, or the goddess of love, you may have to do something, or goddess of fertility, if you want to have children, you might have to do something like that. But other than that, it's not a big deal. You don't have to be accountable on a daily basis to these gods. And the next one is this one. My PowerPoint didn't work. Okay, if you don't go for all of these gods, then, all right, there is a god. There's some god. One single god, but you can call it what you want. Is it Yahweh? Is it God? Is it Allah? Whatever it is, you can call it that. Follow some rules there, but you don't have to really be specific. There's no really one defined god and path that you use. You can do whatever you want. There's one God, follow his rules, whatever you do, but it's not really important which one that is or what name you use or what rules you follow. Just follow one set of rules with one God. Some people think, it just doesn't feel right. So Satan's not happy now because we're still getting closer and closer to what the reality is. So he goes to the next one. Okay, there is a God. One true God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. So, how's your relationship supposed to be with him? I mean, didn't the scriptures are his word? So he sent his son to die, didn't he? He sent his son down to the world to serve. So he's serving us, right? That's God's job. What is God's job? When you think about it, what is God's job? First of all, does he have to have a job? But what is his job, as you call it? He sent his son to serve. It says so in the scriptures. Bring that up here. Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. So, then is God's job is to serve us. It says so right there in the scriptures. How does he do that? Protect us and provide for us. There's scriptures that talk about that too. So he's got these half lives, half truths. Kind of right, kind of wrong. He did send his Son of Man to come and serve, but are we supposed to serve them, or is he supposed to serve us? Are we supposed to serve God, or is he supposed to serve us? Well, go back to the scriptures again. Colossians 3:23-24. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. That's the truth. That's the truth. We serve God. God doesn't serve us. But Satan doesn't want to do that. He skews that relationship, skews that around, so that now, instead of having God on top, man serving him, he flips it around so that man's on top, and now God's supposed to serve him. Because we have these scriptures that say that. Half-truths. Let's look at a couple of those. So he's supposed to protect us, right? There are lots and lots of scriptures talking about how God protects us from things that happen. Psalms 12:5, for the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now I will arise, says the Lord. I will set him in safety for which he yearns. So God's going to put us in safety and protect us. Over in Psalms 91, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. Well, that's great. He's supposed to protect us. These are just some of them. Let's look at a couple more. Proverbs 2:6-8. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the path of justice and preserves the way of his saints. We are his saints, and he's protecting us. That's his job, isn't it? 2 Thessalonians. Well, if the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one? So there we go. We have many scriptures. These are just samples of them saying how God is going to protect us. And so now with this skewed view of what God does for us and what we do for God, we end up with this. We end up God being our personal bodyguard. He's there to protect us and keep us from anything. And is that true? Kind of, yes. Half true. He is. Protect us. He will protect us. But is he there to keep us from everything that happens? No bad, no evil, no failure, no pain, no loss, no anything? That's not true. But Satan wants us to think that God is going to build a hedge around us like he did with Job. Satan accused God of building a hedge around Job and protecting him from anything, and that's why he was so faithful to him. So he says we're supposed to build a hedge around us for protection. And now also he's supposed to provide for us. So in John 14, 13, and 14 says, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, and the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Anything in my name, I will do it. John 5, 15 says, and if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. So, protect us, build a hedge around us, and give us anything that we ask for. So we get this view of personal bodyguard, half personal bodyguard, half genie in our pocket. Anything we want, we ask for, we get. Protect us from everything. That's great. I mean, who wouldn't? That's what a God does, right? Who wouldn't want that? But that's not the way it happens, right? Bad things happen to everybody all the time. We don't have a hedge around us. Things are happening. We don't get everything that we ask for. We ask for a lot of things, and they're good things, but we still don't get them. And people go, I wonder why. And then Satan, see, he's not really a God. He's not protecting you. He's not giving you what you want. Why are you worshiping this guy? And he tries to destroy that relationship. Skew it, get it off kilter, and then destroy it because he says, you're not getting what you want. God's not doing anything for you. Why is that? I mean, why would you worship him? Well, there's, as usual, they're taking things out of context within the scriptures, focusing on that and not looking at the totality of it. Back in John, we had John 15, but we forgot John 14. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. According to his will, he hears us. Ah, there's the key. That's what Satan didn't tell us to begin with. It's like, you get anything you want, and you're protected from everything. Well, yes, but it has to be according with God's will. He knows what's going on. He knows what he wants. For whatever reason, he knows what he wants to happen, and that's what he will provide. You ask for something, you don't get it? Well, that's not what God had planned for you. You have other things for you. So we have to remember, again, that everything happens according to God's will, and that we have to look in the scriptures more than just what one or two verses say. To keep that relationship right, that's what we have to do. So, I call this being upside down. I'm jogging along, thinking about these things, going, man, this relationship with God, people just have it upside down. It's just not right. We're supposed to be on the bottom, and God is the creator. We're the created. We worship him. We provide him praise and glory, and then he gives us the things that he wants according to his will and according to the plan that he has for us. And for some reason, maybe it's because I've been thinking of the boundary waters and fishing and canoeing a lot, this is what pops into my head while I'm going along. We're upside down, kind of like this person. Coming along, cooing, oh, pretty good. Now we're upside down. Now we're in trouble. This person's in big trouble. They're cut off from everything for life. There's no light. I mean, that water is very dark down there with the swirling of the water. There's no air. They're in big trouble. When we get upside down with God, that's the way we are. We're cut off from God. We're cut off from his light. We're cut off from the breath of God, the scriptures. We're cut off from everything that we need for life, physical life and eternal life, spiritual life. So we're just like this. I'm jogging along thinking, okay, so then we're upside down and we're in trouble. How do we get out? Let's look at this again. Let's look at this again. Again, please. Okay. So, let's look at this again. Going through here. Oh, we're upside down. Bing! Came right back up. That wasn't very much. Well, how did that happen? What did this person do? Is it magic? They were able to get back up and get out of there. No, it's not magic. I hear music. Take it away. Okay. Sorry, a little musical interlude there. And now, part two of the talk. So, we're right side up. Now we got right side up. How do we get right side up? There are some ways. So we're going to look at how to get right, how to get or stay right side up with God. So you notice that the kayaker, it had something there. It was using. It was a tool. It was very important. very important tool, obviously, what it was. It was that paddle. A paddle is the tool that they use. They just didn't get in their kayak and start paddling with their hands to try and do all of this stuff. They have this tool that they use, and that tool is what helps them do everything. It guides them, it steers them, they go upstream against it, and when they get upside down, they use that tool to get right side up again. So they have a tool that helps them to do all these things through all this whole course, or you can equate that to our life. They're going down through this course, our life is this course, going through these gates, trying to go upstream. Sometimes you go upstream, you have to go over here, you have to go over here. You're trying to achieve certain goals, and you have this tool that helps you do that. Well, we have a tool as well, and it's the Scriptures. That's our tool for staying right side up with God. We have another little scene here, hopefully. Oh, there's this guy going down through that little hole. Oh, now he's using his tool because he's got a goal he needs to accomplish. Fights upstream against the onrushing attitudes of the world, you could equate to that. And then he comes around, fights his way up, and goes back around. So that's his tool. Our tool is the Scriptures. We need that tool to fight our way upstream against the attitude of other people in the world. This is what we need. But we just don't need the tool by itself. They didn't just throw this guy a paddle and go, good luck, get out there. He has instructions on how to use this paddle. How long is it? What do you do? What do you do in this situation? What do you do in this situation? He knows how to use this paddle because he's been instructed to do it. We also have instructions. Bible study. We have to learn how to use our tool as well. And that's why we have Bible study. We study the Scriptures. We don't take that one verse out of context and go, yep, this is what it says, so that's what we should do. We study the totality of the Scriptures so that we understand all of God's will for us. How can we understand God's will? The only way we can know even the tiniest, itty-bitty, infinitesimal piece of God's mind is through the Scriptures. We have to study them to understand them in their totalities. And finally, it's practice. They didn't say, all right, here's your tool. Here's how you use it. Now go for the Olympic gold. Now, this guy spent hours, hundreds of hours, perhaps thousands of hours practicing with this tool, fighting his way, going in the water, back and forth, daily, practicing. We need the same thing. Our worship is our practice. Coming here this morning, we're practicing, if you will say, worshiping God. Going to meetings, being here every day, gathering with the saints, that's our worship, that's our practice. We studied this morning, had Bible study, and now we're worshiping. That's our practice. That's how we stay upright with God. We use that tool. It's the only way we can do it. Sometimes, I had to see this one. This one was a funny one. Sometimes our friends can even inadvertently get us upside down. They don't even mean to, really. Or maybe this guy meant to. Ah! Oh, that was fun. He's like, ah. So sometimes that happens to us. They don't even mean to. Just goofing around with you. They might get us upside down or kind of get us off kilter. So we've got to be careful when we talk with each other, or we've got to make sure that we're doing the Scripture. That one was funny when I liked it. So, but it's true that our friends, our acquaintances, they can get us off kilter with God if we're not careful. So we've got to make sure we have our tool and we're using it correctly. Sometimes, though, things happen and you just get stuck. You're coming along and life's just not going well, and you're trying your best, you're doing your best, you're trying to get out, but it's just not working. And it just seems like it's impossible. No matter what you do, you're right back into it. You're working as hard as you can, but you can't get out. You're just stuck in this place. What do you do? You just keep fighting. Bible says to persevere. We have to persevere. We have to keep going. Keep trying our best. Working at it. Using our tool. Sometimes we're upside down. We get right side up again. We just keep fighting. This guy's in trouble. I mean, you think he's not scared right now? He's petrified. We get that way too. We're petrified spiritually. Like, I just don't know what I'm doing. So we just have to keep fighting. Keep getting in. Maybe get a little help and encouragement from our friends. Not the ones that are pushing us over, but those that are trying to get us out. pay attention to them. And this is the end of the clip, but he does finally get out of there. I mean, that guy was, I mean, I don't know how many times he was underwater and couldn't get out of there. That would be petrifying. We can be that way spiritually, too. It can be petrifying. We can be frozen, like, I don't know what to do. Don't know how to get out. You just keep fighting. Go to your friends for help. Look into Scripture. Use that tool. Every day, use that tool. So that's my talk this morning. Do you feel like you're upside down with God, or that relationship is skewed? Satan's getting in your head and messing with it, or maybe you're stuck in a whirlpool and you can't get out. You just got to keep fighting. Keep persevering. Use your tool. Go to the Bible study. Worship. Be here. This is your best defense against Satan. He's messing with your mind. Don't let him destroy that relationship with God. God's the creator. We are the created. We worship him. And he will protect us. And he will provide for us. But only according to his will. So we're going to offer the gospel invitation. If you haven't gotten right with God, if you're upside down, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing.